Hello, welcome to my podcast. Welcome to another episode of Fat Talks by Tommy. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for always tuning in. Today's podcast is one I'm super excited about, but I don't think this is the first time I'm touching on this topic. And I honestly don't think it's the last, because I think it's a topic that we must constantly learn and unlearn some of the vices that we're going to talk about today. Today I'm talking about overwhelm, why you are overwhelmed, and how to fix it. You know, I was inspired to touch on this again because recently, in the last year or two, actually, even much less than that, in the last 2 months, I have spoken to 3 high-achieving women about this topic, about overwhelm. One of them, who is a dear, dear friend of mine, was at the verge of closing her very successful business because of overwhelm, right? And it got me thinking about how many of us are dealing with overwhelm, and we are quietly dealing with it because we think that showing that we're overwhelmed is a sign of weakness, but it isn't. So today we're talking about why you are overwhelmed. And I'm going to try and go through as many points as possible. This is looking like it could be a 2-part, maybe even a 3-part series. Once we hit our 20-minute mark, I'm going to shut this particular episode down. So if we haven't covered as much as I hope we will make it a 2-part, maybe even a 3-part series. The first reason why you are overwhelmed is because you haven't learned the fine art of saying no. You can choose to say no thank you, no please, whichever way you go, it has to be a polite but firm no. I find, right, that many of us find it difficult to say no for a variety of reasons. Number one, we don't want to say no because we are trying to please the person making the request. I get that. So our response is people pleasing. You already know how I feel about that. Number two, you don't want to say no because you think it will give the impression that you lack competence. Number three, you don't want to say no because you think that this is an opportunity you do not want to pass by. And when opportunities show up, you believe you need to take it. You don't want to say no because you don't want to be embarrassed. You feel saying no will give the impression that you lack the skills to make this request happen. And of course, for many of us, you don't want to say no because you're trying to stretch yourself to do more. All these answers, all these reasons are valid. And within reason, sometimes you need to say yes to something that you otherwise should be saying no to. I get it. We're human and we're living in this very dynamic world. So I get it. But for the purpose of this episode, I want to debunk all these reasons why you are saying yes when you should be saying no. For one thing, and I said this verbatim to this dear friend of mine, competence is scarce. Good people are scarce. People who are able to do good work are scarce. If you have built your reputation around delivering good work, if you are good with people, if you are good at what you do, if you take pride in your work, you are a rarity. You are in short supply and you will be in demand. The more people get to know about what you do and who you are and how well you do your thing, the more people are going to make requests and demands on you, even outside of your core competence. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this, because for me, this is at the core of why you are overwhelmed. You know, this dear friend of mine said she got an offer to do something. She already had a full plate. She didn't want to say no because she felt it was even a privilege for her to be made this kind of offer, for this person to have come to her, right, asking her to do this, even though what they were asking for was not necessarily in her wheelhouse, was not her core competence. She would have to learn new skills, hire new hands, outsource some functions just to make this happen. Now, while in another time, another season, this might just have been what I would even have advised her to do, in this moment when she did have a full plate and she's built her reputation on competence, my suggestion was to say no. Because good people are scarce. You will always have more demand than you are able to supply. You are a limited resource. And because you are a limited resource, you have to guard and guide yourself, because you can't deplete your energy. You can't give all of yourself to everybody who is making a demand. If you are good at what you do, you will by default attract more demand than you have the capacity for. So what? Get used to it. If you're good at what you do, you have to learn and sharpen the skill of saying no, of cherry picking the opportunities you take and the services you deliver, on being disciplined about what it is that you offer, because you can't do everything. And because you're good at what you do, people will make demands on you. I want to give an example with my life, like I always try to do. When my business was about a decade old, I noticed that many people were making demands on us beyond what our core, you know, offering was. You know, we offer ready-to-wear, semi-formal, semi-casual, super versatile pieces that are our original designs. And beyond the pieces that we offer and the designs that we offer, we also are very, very passionate about delivering our pieces very well packaged. We are very big on customer service. We are huge on delivery times. In fact, our entire ethos is about delivering when we say we are going to deliver. We are big on that. We are big on integrity. And people will say to you that if exclamation says it's going to be ready in a day, best believe you are going to get it within 24 hours. So we kind of built our reputation around this. And of course, on customer experience and all that lovely stuff. So people enjoy shopping with us. And this is not me trying to toot my horn, but this is something we have done intentionally and deliberately. So people enjoy, you know, engaging with us and shopping with us. They enjoy the fact that they walk into a store, you know, they see all this variety, everything well made, everything well packaged. If they order online or order through social media, their pieces are delivered nicely packed and on time. We're really big on the on time part. And because of this, people wanted us to do other things as well, because they simply wanted to enjoy this level of service, but with other things that they needed, with other services that they needed. So people would ask if we made occasion wear. People would ask if we did bespoke. People would ask if we did things that were embellished. People were making many demands on us. While this was an opportunity for us to stretch and explore other sides of our business, we chose instead to dig deeper and build competence in what it is that was our core offering. So we found ourselves saying no often. When people came and made this request, it was, no, please, this is not what we do. Maybe we can recommend somebody else to you. Almost every time we recommended somebody else, they would come back to us saying, well, she was all right, but would rather deal with you. So we got this quite a lot, and it was difficult, but I knew that what we had to do was dig deeper and build competence in our core offering, build specialization in our core offering so that we are known for this thing and we build it to a point where it can run on autopilot. And that's exactly what we did. And guess what? We are kind of still doing. So we had to learn to say no a lot. And we had to find nice, polite, but firm ways of saying no. And I believe that was one life skill that we developed and that has served us till this day. Fast forward another 12 years, you know, after that season, we rarely ever get people making these demands. Instead, we have more people coming to us for the thing they know us for. We have built a reputation and a brand around this core competence so that now we only attract the people who want us for what we do well. This has helped us to develop a deep relationship and fondness in the minds of our customers. It has also helped us to explore other parts of what it is we do well, you know, because you can always go deeper. No matter what it is you do, you can always go deeper. So you need to resist the urge to do too much, right? But go deeper. And if you want to do that, in resisting, you have to learn to say no. All right. So that leads me to number two. Okay. Why you are overwhelmed? Focus. You know, that's where I was going, right? It's a nice way of progressing. It's a nice progression from number one, isn't it? Focus. One of the reasons why you are overwhelmed is because you are not focused. Oh, I was speaking to a mentee of mine. You know, I told you three different people. The second person was a dear, multi-talented mentee of mine who was doing way too much. She's a very gifted individual. Unlike most multi-talented people, she felt obligated to express all her passions, explore all her gifts. And because this is something she was trying to do, she was doing too much. Beyond expressing her passions and exploring her gifts, she was also trying to monetize them all. My word. She was running bonkers. And of course, at the point where we were having a conversation, she was burnt out. She was not able to give herself to all these passions and all these expressions. And more importantly, she was so burnt out, she wasn't able to take care of herself. Now, you know, there's something I always say. If your ambition prevents you from having time for yourself, for your family, and from your passions, that is things that you enjoy doing, then this ambition is toxic. If your ambition prevents you from doing what you need to do to be fit, if your ambition prevents you from your faith, if your ambition prevents you from doing all you need to do with and for your family, those are the three F's that I call the pillars of life: your fitness, your family, your faith. If your ambition compromises these three things, then that ambition is toxic. You notice I didn't put work in there because it is assumed, right? It is assumed that the reason why you're not doing all these things is because of work. And so your work, good work, should not prevent you from showing up in these three areas. Good work should foster these things, should help you include these things, right? So my person was not focused, and because she was not focused, she was getting burnt out and she was getting overwhelmed. Unfortunately, the world rewards overwhelm in that it's almost like a badge of honor. You know, it's an interesting story. It's a compelling story. Somebody who is doing a million and one things, wearing several hats, always running helter-skelter, always looking a bit raggedy, always doing too much. It's as if the world rewards that. This high-paced life of performance is something that is celebrated, you know, and you get accolades for it. But it is still toxic. You need to focus. Just like I said with the first point about saying no, you need to focus on what it is you do well. Focus on what it is you are passionate about. Focus on what it is you are building, and not try to build too much at once. Energy and time are limited resources, and the best way to use them is to focus. Focus on one thing, and as you have capacity, you can increase. You can do more. But while capacity is limited, you need to focus on a thing. And if you don't, overwhelm will be your buddy. It will be right there next to you. I have learned focus, and I am still learning focus, because it is possible to learn focus and still get carried away with this performance culture and want to do too much. But it's something I consciously resist, right? And I will invite you to do the same. Focus, focus. We're almost done. I think we may have time for just one more point. And I, in my last point, this one means a lot to me. If you do find yourself in a position where you are growing, right, you will get to a point, if you are doing it right, where this vision, this business, your work will begin to outgrow you. It begins to make more demands on you, needing you to upskill, needing you to hire up, needing you to increase your capacity. What I find with a lot of people is, because you have been successful up until this point, many of us feel like what got us to that point can carry us all the way. What we don't realize is sometimes overwhelm is a signal to you to delegate. Overwhelm is a signal to you to automate. Overwhelm is a signal to you to increase capacity. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. You know, for some of us, when you begin to see new opportunities show up, whether within your area of competence or areas a little bit outside of your comfort zone or what you're known for, the answer may not necessarily be don't do it. The answer could be do it, but build capacity for it. Most of us are not building capacity, but we want to do more. To build capacity, delegation is key. To build capacity in this new age, automation is also important, right? And I want to touch a little bit on delegation before we close. We're about to round up. When you are delegating, I want you to remember these three E's. Number one, you must empower. It's not enough to delegate to somebody and still be the one doing the work. Does that sound like you? Many of us hire the people we want to do some of the aspects of the job that we're doing, right? But we don't empower them. We hold on to power. And because of that, they are not able to carry out these functions effectively or efficiently. So as you delegate, you need to empower the people. Empower them with authority to do their work. That means give them a team, give them the tools, give them the training. That's what empowering means. You give them a team, you give them the tools, you give them the training. Number two, you need to empathize with the people you are delegating to. Super important. When you delegate to people, understand that you are not delegating to robots. They will make mistakes. No doubt about it, that will happen. They will make mistakes. If you do not leave room to allow people to make their mistakes, learn from their mistakes, you know, and self-correct or manage the situation or even experience, right, the consequences of their errors and somehow bounce back and, you know, strengthen that muscle, learn from it, you're going to prevent people from learning from experience, and that is the best teacher ever. And if you don't empathize, if you don't allow people to make their mistakes, you are going to stunt their growth. Because what it is now people will now begin to withdraw from taking chances. People will now begin to withdraw from taking initiative or using their discretions. And these are all the things that are going to free you. Okay? So hire right, get the right people, but empower them and empathize. Know that they are human. They're going to make mistakes and you have to let them do so. Number three, you have to encourage. A lot of us don't do this enough, right? And I dare say it is maybe the missing link between you and overwhelm, right? Maybe this is the connecting link rather. You need to encourage people to be the best they can be. Once you start to delegate, you know, you've empowered, you empathize, you know, you have to encourage them to continue to try. You have to give them your vote of confidence. You have to motivate them, inspire them. You have to be around to nudge them in the right direction. You can't just assume that people are going to, you know, show up the way you would show up. It's taking you 10, 15 years to be this person for your business. And this person you hired has just been in the team for a year and you think they should replace you just like that. No, they have to be encouraged because like you, they are also dealing with their demons. They are also dealing with the voices in their head, telling them they are way in over their heads and they cannot do this. You need to encourage them to try out, to make mistakes, to do the best they can. In encouraging them, you have to give them guidelines. You know, I think this is the most important thing. Give people guidelines, give them models, give them policies that they can walk around. Give people manuals. All these tools are empowering, but it also encourages them to know that, you know, these are things they can do if they have some kind of a template to follow. Right. You know, and of course, you need to automate. Right. This is self-explanatory. Right. The moment you try, you want to do a little bit more or you want to do things a bit more efficiently to avoid overwhelm. You know, some aspects of your processes need to be automated. Right. And this not only saves time, it also frees you of the time that it would have taken to do these things. And it also makes the result more predictable and more efficient, right? So that is it. We have gone almost almost four and a half minutes over, but I think it was well worth it. This will be a three-part series, I think. I think this will be a three-part series. From this series, I can tell we will at least have two more parts. And I want you to listen to this over and over again. Overwhelm is a thing. And if you're high achieving, you're probably already experiencing it. If you are not high achieving, the whole task of juggling it all is definitely something that can bring about overwhelm. So please listen to this over and over again. And please share with somebody you know is experiencing overwhelm right now. And let them be empowered to fix it. All right? All right. I really need to go now. Thank you so, so very much for listening. Speak to you soon. Please listen to the next episode. Thank you. Bye.